Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is Aisha from Girls on Road. Just a heads up and a disclaimer before you come for our TED Talks. As you already know, we are in a pandemic. It's a pandemic! So, bear with us if you hear any bumps, possibly children screaming, and maybe even a lawnmower or two. We got things to do, so bear with us. We don't have soundproof rooms, but we're making do with what we can. Enjoy the episode.
Hey, this is Girls on Road, an all black female collective that exists to be heard. We are here to proudly represent our different experiences of black womanhood. We are a group of like-minded creatives, and each episode you'll hear from three of us. Speaking up today is Alia. This episode we're starting the show by sharing our wildest holiday.
I don't think I've had a wild holiday, if I'm honest.
I only have one. We seem to be, like, in our friendship group, always going to places that are residential, quiet, relaxed, and then, like, we end up bringing, like, this, like, youngness to the place. So we went to Corfu, which actually isn't that wild. Like, obviously Kavos is, like, off an island off there, but we went to Corfu, which is quite, like, I don't know, it's just, like, residential.
Where's Corfu?
I've heard of that. I don't know.
Am I being dumb?
Greece, I think.
Yeah, it's Greece. Yeah, island in Greece. Everyone knows this campus, like, they're the party islands. That's what I mean. We went there a bit, like, way, way, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
And then what they had, like, this shuttle bus slash van thing, like, so small. Like, I wouldn't even call it that. It was more like a small van, miniature van. And they were like, we can charge you 10, whatever it was, to go in this van to Kavos for one night, and we'll take you back at the end. And we were like, okay. And we're quite, yeah, like you said earlier, we're not a wild, like, friendship group, but we went, and oh my gosh. Like, I've never been to a party island holiday. Like, I've never been on a strip holiday in my life.
Really? Is it?
Yeah, and it was wild. Like, it was unlimited drinks for, like, a whole, like, hour slot. And they're just pouring it. You know how in foreign countries they don't even care about the menu.
Yeah, they don't.
And it was just, woof.
Nice. So you got licked.
I got licked. And also, I went up to some random guy. Some random, quite good-looking, though, guy. And was like, and I said the most out. Landish thing I think I've ever said in my life, that, and it was just two sentences, and I said, have you got a girlfriend, because you know you've got to be respectful in that, and he said no, and I said, and have you ever kissed a black girl before, and he said no too, and I was like, nah, I gotta fix that. And it was just like,
oh my god,
did you kiss him afterwards?
I licked him. And it was wild. But that's my only wild holiday, I must admit. That's as far as it goes.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. What about you guys?
I went to Hideout.
Yeah, that's definitely wild.
So I feel like it should have been. I'm trying to think. Like, I feel like I wasn't wild. Like, that's just not me. But, like, it was a good holiday. Obviously, that, like, it's back to back drinking for five whole days. Jesus. So it is a lot. But I still don't feel like I was wild. I know that, like, me and my cousin argued over, like, dumbness. That was ridiculous. I know that, like, we got on the back of some guy's motorbikes that we met. And then, like, we rode the long route home through the sunset.
That's not wild.
I'm scared. I know I should never have done that. That was very dumb. But, like, if I'm honest, I feel like I'm the tame one of my friends.
Okay.
But my friends that I went with, they drink a lot. So... Mm. They got tattoos and stuff, so really and truthfully, I wasn't the wildest. It was a great holiday. It could have been wild. I just didn't take it there. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, things that would make it wild, like over drinking, tattoos, drugs, I don't do. So
yeah,
I'm not boring, but it's just that, like, it just wasn't. It wasn't wild. Do you get me?
Behind a motorbike. Wait, did you know the guy who's driving you? Okay, that's a little bit wild. He could be driving you off to a cliff somewhere, drop you down.
I know, that was dumb.
Richard.
He got on with brothers, but.
What's his name?
I know.
Night stalker.
Oh, God, no. It was two brothers, and I just know I got on the one bike, and she got on the other. And me and my cousin, we just rode, like, this long route back to the hotel, which was far from ours. Mm-hmm. And then we just walked back home. It was so silly.
That's cute. Yeah, that's no. cute.
Yeah, it was cute. It felt like a little film. It was like, oh, it was cute. Yeah, it was nice.
I love riding on the back of a motorbike. I only ever rode on the back of a motorbike once in London with my friend Zoe. Big up Zoe. I mean, that's as wild as it got. It wasn't like some strange or danger thing, which I think is wild, Alia.
Okay, sorry. Maybe, yeah.
Kemi, I feel like there's something burning inside.
No, no, I have a few. I'm just trying to pick the right.
Oh,
wow.
It's because okay. I'm a mess. No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm just trying to think. Okay, this is kind of wild, but in a different way. Okay, so I went to Morocco. I got actually flown out to Morocco to do a music video for a big label. But yeah, it was my first time, and I was by myself, but I knew the woman who was basically directing it and doing all the fashion. Anyway, whatever. So yeah, it was like a full, anyway, sorry, I'm trying not to elaborate, but basically we went there with a huge camera, like it was a Red camera, and those cameras are really, really expensive. And Morocco couldn't like allow that camera in, so it got held and got detained, and we were supposed to film also in Marrakesh, so they had to go through a whole process of getting back that camera because they seized it. But yeah, filming it, there's two things that were kind of wild. Filming it, I had my mid drift out, and that's like super like not okay, because in an Islamic country and you can't be doing that. So basically we had two guys who were part of Moroccan culture and residents of Morocco, basically, and they held like these two huge like crowds of people, and they're all trying to get in, trying to see what was going on. Me, I'm just dancing by my little self, and I have my midriff out, and it was so exposing, and I was like, oh my god, kill me now. And I swear, the looks I was getting, it was like, you should not be doing this. And I was like, I know, I should not be doing this, I know. And then so that happened. But then on the way back, they were trying to seize the camera or something, basically.
Really?
I had to smuggle back the batteries from that camera.
Wow.
So we took them in, and we weren't supposed to take those batteries in, because we thought, oh, maybe we can get that camera back and then film. But like, no. So I had to, the guy was just like, I don't know why I did it. He was just like, put these in your bag. Oh, and I thought to myself,
I
want to get paid, so I put it in my bag, and I thought, if I get stopped, Lord Jesus Christ, because we weren't actually supposed to have those batteries in there. So I fully smuggled batteries back to the UK.
That's
mad.
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, so that happened, but it was a great holiday, I cannot lie. I enjoyed it. The video is so cringy. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Where you can find it.
I have a feeling I remember. I have a feeling I know who it is.
Please don't say
later tonight. Because I've been following you for a while.
I like that you have that memory, though. Like, that's the thing. That's what I was thinking. Like, I feel like wild holidays, you can kind of be like, oh my god, I can't believe I did that. But like, yeah. And that's why I was like, I don't think I have that. No, that's funny. I can imagine being stressed that, like, are they going to arrest me? Are they going to shout at me? Like, what's going to go on?
Yeah, oh my god. You know, yeah, I was so worried. I was like, okay, if I don't bring these back, this guy's not going to pay me, and I need to be paid. I haven't just done this for fun. Like, this isn't fun.
The midriff wasn't out for a joke.
Yeah, it wasn't out for a joke. I was like, I've already offended so many people at this point. At least I need to be compensated. So when he said smuggle back, I need to at least get paid. I was like, well, yeah, I'm going to smuggle them.
I literally could have gone to jail because I researched it.
But hey, I guess Moroccan security is slacking.
Lucky for you, Kevin. You wouldn't have come to this day.
Wow.
All for a check. Well, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do. Get the midriff out. More of the story, get that midriff out. Don't feel sorry for anything that you do.
Basically.
So let's get into it, the check-in, the bit where we talk about our feelings. But for real, how have you been feeling this week? I know that it's a bit of a mad time to be alive, but we thank God, we praise Jesus. But how are we actually feeling? Let's lay it out on the table.
My sleeping pattern is all the way messed up. It is not good. Like, it's just crazy for me. I don't know. I feel I personally found this second lockdown harder than the first.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I'm alive. So today was a cute day for me, but overall, like, it's not. I'm finding it harder than the first lockdown.
100%. How about you, Alia?
Same, if I'm honest. The first lockdown, it was kind of like a bit of a joke to me because I'm such a homebody. So I thought, okay, being paid to work from home. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm not living in London anymore, so my expenses are very low. Do you know what I mean? I was like, okay, great. No outgoings. Amazing. So it was a bit of a joke. Like, oh, I can see friends. This is fine. Birmingham and back. Da, 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 for how long? Who knows? And now I'm just like, nah. I've done a year in my job and I spent one day in the office.
Man.
Exactly. I've spent one day in the office. Now I don't know when I'm actually going to see my friends. It's, you know what I mean? Yeah. The kind of benefits that started off with this situation, which I know is a bit of a weird way to look at it, they're slowly like becoming less and less and less, like the list of benefits. So it is hard, and I'll be honest, like prior to yesterday I hadn't been out since New Year's Day.
When you mean out
yeah, when you say out, what do
like
you
mean? I just stay at home. I don't do daily walks. I don't do, like, I just don't leave the house. Yes. I know, it's like crazy. I've popped to like my friends to grab something because she had something in mind, so I literally just drove, met her at her gate and grabbed this thing from her, and that was it. But like, to say that I've been out, I haven't, and I feel like it has got on top of me. So I said to myself, yeah, next week I need to start going out for walks. I think just because of how cold it's been and by the time I finish working, do you know what I mean? I just I'm not bothered.
I think about it.
Yeah, that's
true. Past couple weekends, by 2 p.m., 3 p.m., it's dark.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Who wants to wake up early on a weekend? It's weird.
I don't understand why big, like, 4:30 looks like midnight.
It's true.
Someone please tell me. It's so weird. I feel like I've just become, like, aware of it, but it's been happening ever since we've been alive. But, like, I just feel like it's a proper shocker, I guess, with the COVID. It's a pandemic.
But you feel it more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like
it's really getting on me, like this is us for a minute.
Trust. I've been actually in isolation because my partner's dad actually tested positive, so... I've been out here in isolation for this week.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. I hope he feels better.
He's on the home street. He had a roast for
him. Okay, good.
Yes. So I just wasn't sure what was going on, what was going on. And I've also been inside, and it does really take it out of you. So, Alia, get on them walks, girl. That lunchtime little... Even that lunchtime around the block, trust me, it makes a difference.
I was going to do the run around the block. So what I said is, I've got a dog and my dad takes her out every morning. Mm-hmm. So I said, all right, let me come with you. So I can do that in the morning.
Take my time.
And then I can do my workouts and my lunch break like normal. So, because the evening walks don't get done because it's so
dark.
Have you been
working out? You're working out? Boy, barely. Props to you.
But props next week, I'm a new woman.
I've told myself that so many weekends ago. Too, I've been like, Monday, start Monday, you're going to run. You're going to run Monday for 30 minutes. Monday never comes. It's still Saturday. Every day is Saturday. Every day is Sunday.
Oh geez, we're gonna make next week better. We're gonna boss it. That's what we're gonna do. Going on from bossing it on our new week, our new us, going to Queen of the Week, of course, where we give flowers to women that deserve it. Kemi.
Well, for me, I've just been obsessed with RuPaul and everything RuPaul. They are helping me get through this quarantine, all the queens.
Right.
So one of my favorite queens. And I hope you can agree with me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you watch it or not, but
I'm a big Simone. Fan. Yeah.
Simone, she needs to win. I love her so much. Every single look she's come out with, bam, shablam. I've been in awe. Loving. I've been like, oh, I need to do my hair like that. I need to do, oh my God. Yeah. And all of her looks, and she's won both challenges so far. And I just think, she's just so beautiful and she's just so amazing. And I love everything she stands for. And she brings me so much joy. I just love looking at some of these queens' Instagrams because I'm just like, yes, give it to the runway, give it all of it. So I love her, and that's my queen of the week.
That's a love great
it. Thing. Definitely wearing the crown. I feel like, yeah, RuPaul has gotten everybody through Brooklyn. They're just fabulous.
Mm. Fabulous.
Like, honestly, and that's what you need.
Fucking. I honestly think, like, fashion editors, watch RuPaul's Drag Race, mm. see what the queens have conceptualized, and, yep. like,
yeah.
like, copy them
run.
And put them in and run it with, like, fashion editorials and stuff like that. Because
100
the ideas and how they're so creative, I just think is so beautiful. Mm. But yeah, I definitely have noticed that. So they trendsetters.
Oh yeah, drag queens are 100%. I'm convinced yeah. they are trendsetters. Everybody takes from queer definitely. Community, whether they realize it or not. Like, they are mm-hmm. trailblazers.
100%.
100%.
They yes. are. Going into Yas, this is perfect segue. Going to Yas Girl Yas, like Yas Girl Yas. And did you know that Yas Girl Yas actually came from drag queen culture? Yeah.
Yes.
There you go. Yes. And it was all about boosting each other up and acknowledging our achievements, no matter how big or small. I know we've been saying it's been a bit of a tough one all round, mm-hmm. but there must be something that's come throughout your week that you thought, you know what? Yes, I did that.
Come yes. on. I got to shoot a short film at the start of January. So that was a very yes for me. It was a, yeah, what? I got to play a lead. And it's, yeah,
come
I'm a lawyer, which is hilarious because if you know me, your girl's ditzy.
A lawyer hiding uh-huh, batteries.
Smuggling batteries into different countries. So yeah, no, and that was really cool. But the coolest thing about it was the amount of Black women on set. It was lovely. Produced by a Black woman, written by a Black woman, and directed by a Black woman. All the costume was sourced by Black women, makeup, Black women. And lovely. Yeah, I just wanted, my heart goes out to all of them because I honestly haven't felt so comfortable on set before. And I just felt so blessed yeah. that I was working with all these trailblazers so and amazing women, Black women in the industry. And so, yeah, that was my highlight. And that made my 2021 start off with a good, you know, bang.
With a bang. Same
yeah.
I love that.
Yes.
My highlight, I'm gonna say it's doing my mix. I just put
yes!
my mix on
the towel.
Of course.
I'm not gonna lie. I've been back and forth with it honestly for months, and it was one of those, like, you know when, like, you know you're done but you're just like and then Christmas happened, so that was like another 2 weeks of just Christmas, do you know what I mean? So I wasn't really on my decks like that, and I said, Alia, you're being dumb, like, just put this damn thing out. And then I'm really, like, annoying when it comes to recording, because it's like, I'm by myself, I can do it, and I'll be like, all right, great, go to record, and I'm just making mistakes, or for some reason I want to start flexing and yeah. playing around with things, and then I get annoyed that it went wrong, and I'm like, why are you doing this when it's time to record? So I literally just got myself together, and each day this week I was like, I'm gonna have to do it, and I'll be here for hours. So I finally did it, was happy with it, and I said, okay, put it up now, don't even think about it, just put it up.
Yeah.
So
yes,
yeah, I'm pleased, and it makes me happy. Like, the mix genuinely makes me happy when I hear it, so it's nice.
That's really so amazing.
No, honestly, tunes make you feel so good that I've actually kind of stopped playing music. And I think that's another reason that goes into my, like, emotion. So when it comes to mixes, actually you can sit there and, like, have a mix. Whereas with, like, general just playing tracks and stuff, I don't do it anymore. But when it comes to mix, I'm still devoted to it because I know that there's a time period and I get to dance and I get to hear song after song without even, like, thinking. So you're actually making a big difference, I think, for people's emotions and happiness and good times.
Oh,
the club,
I missed the club, man.
You missed them so bad.
Club.
The club misses me. I would say, I have a weird one. I am not very good when it comes to chefing. I'm not the chef. I don't even know what I'm doing. I can, you know, I've said on other shows that I could probably burn rice. It's not good. Yes, it's embarrassment. I am embarrassed. So I tried my hand at cooking this week, which I think is an achievement.
What?
And I guess what I cooked.
Cheese!
Oh, I love it, right?
Yes.
That's good as well. You have to watch that. You know that. Like, that's not easy in the sense of you just leave it. You have to keep. Yeah, you have to watch it.
Yeah,
the wrist.
Yeah, you got to take your time. So, oh, that's good. Well done.
Well done.
It was a bit like gruel, like it wasn't the best kind of consistency, but I tried. So I'm keeping that as an achievement.
No, keep it up. Yeah.
Exactly. God loves a try. There you go. Let's get into the main part of the show. It's time for the group chat. Let's step in. This is a moment where we talk about real things in a real way, providing our perspectives to the conversations happening on and offline. I've been wanting to cover this topic for a while, actually, and today we are covering it. We are delving into how Black women and Black people in general are depicted within modern media. I feel like we're often like the criminal opposition, especially like that's like mainly for male characters, and then the bit on the side for women. And it's just all a badness. And productions tend to like hide behind saying, oh, well, it wouldn't fit for this role, or, oh, well, we do have some Black people in the cast. And I wanted to not name and shame, but I wanted to just talk with you today about what companies you think and productions are like bossing it, like giving a fair, diverse depiction, and who and what people think they are, but they're really off the mark. Unpopular and popular opinions, please.
Okay. So when we talk about media, what are we talking about specifically? Because if we're talking about like YouTube content, like I think Foot Asylum are doing amazing stuff with like Chunks Philly, Nella Rose, giving them the platform to, you know, be themselves, unequivocally themselves, and still like, you know, be able to do brand deals, be able to like make people laugh and free, not exactly. Not so I think all of them are really good representations of I don't know, like London culture for me anyway, and what I grew up around. And so yeah, seeing them blossom and shine is amazing, and I love the fact they're not like polished algorithms, whereas like the TV and film industry is very different. So I think YouTube and that media and all of that, giving Black women, Black people a voice is incredible, and we've seen more diversity from that.
You're right, I agree. I think it's funny you mentioned Foot Asylum, because I was talking to someone about like, you know, influencers now, everybody loves streetwear, everybody wants to wear joggers, and I mean like prior to lockdown. And I said I find it a bit annoying, because I remember when I was growing up and I'd love like these brands like Nike and Adidas, and the friends I had at my secondary school, it was a predominantly white school, and it was kind of like, oh, like you kind of, people that wore tracksuits a lot were kind of compartmentalized into being like chavs, or just like 100%. Not really caring about themselves. So kind of seeing so many white influencers now take on this style, and they're pushed for brands like JD, and yeah, mostly JD in terms of like these deals. It is a bit of a funny ground. And while I love like say Foot Asylum's content, when you go on their website, the models are still the darkest shade is a mixed race girl.
100%. And I'm so, saying with JD does it so badly.
JD does it a lot. And it is infuriating, if I'm honest. Like I just think the people who have historically worn streetwear are Black people, 100%. Are hip-hop guys. So how they're not visible on your website is beyond me. Yeah. How that the darker shade is, as I said, a mixed race model is crazy. Yet you have Nella Rose on YouTube. Have Nella Rose wearing outfits. Have different sexuality. Have those shades of women, dark skinned Black women, different body shapes.
Exactly. Just up and down,
wearing the clothes, because we really are the ones who set these trends. Like we've been wearing this. We've been going to JD. I remember like coveting my little JD bag when I bought one pair of trainers for months and dragging it to school, and mum would be like, don't let me see you leave the house with that bag. It's part of our culture, so it kind of annoys me. We're only ever allowed in certain spaces when they feel like it, or when, if I'm honest, it feels like they can profit from it. So
yeah,
I'm frustrated.
Do you feel, I've got a question actually, going back to Trunks, do you think that they, for example, Trunks and Young Philly could become
100%.
Like would be 100%. Off, like, at the same time?
And they know that, why they have them. This is what I mean. I mean, I think in many ways, they've got Trunks and Philly, they've got Nella Rose, because they know that their personalities are great. They know what they're worth, and they're taking from them, and at the same time pulling in masses of audiences who look like them. But still, in areas like the online store, you are catering towards these people in terms of your brand deals, your influencer deals. You still aren't gravitating to all these kinds of people. So to me, it kind of feels like cherry picking.
Yeah, it is cherry picking.
It's not good enough, if I'm honest. I don't think it's good enough.
And I think sometimes it takes a while for people to really have that trust with our community in terms of, like, we can lead this. I feel like sometimes newcomers aren't given a shot as much. For example, we'll give it to Chunks and Philly and Nella Rose because, like you said,
because they've been busting their arse.
Like, new talent, it's I feel like it's a hard thing to, like, how do you even get your way in?
That is actually so true. Talking about colorism in, like, media, in productions and stuff, I wanted to talk about Bridgerton because there's been a massive debate on Twitter, considering how popular it's been for the black community, because we have a black queen, we have, you know, characters in a period drama that are actually black, which is pretty much one of the first. And people, they even sit on one side, they're like, yes, here for it, black people depicted in period drama, this is what the world, like, needs, this is what is making a change. And then there's others, like, polar opposite, like, there's only, like light-skinned black characters in it. Even one of the main characters, she's actually knocked up by someone, and then she doesn't even get her, like, you know, she gets, like, such a bad ending for herself, where she has to marry her old partner's brother.
I have so many feelings about this. I feel like we need more representation just everywhere, especially women. You know, they are part of our society, they're a part of culture, and they need to be seen, and they need to be they need to feel like they are seen, because it's 2021. Right. You can't be doing this, like, whole colorism, light skin, it's just trash. I don't want to see that. It's boring. We don't need another light skin anthem. It's tired, it's old, yawn, boring. Yeah. So yeah, I would love to see more shades of representation, but that comes from the tippity top, as in terms of, we need black people in those powerful roles. For example, we need to see more black casting directors, we need to see more black directors, because they will give those the opportunity. For example, just hypothetically, just put it out there, if it is a white casting director, she might be more inclined to choose the light skin girl, because she might be able to resonate more with that. Could be like, oh, that might be my daughter, or that could be my, you know, I just assimilate more with her than maybe someone who is a darker shade. And that just goes throughout history and slavery, and we all know the history of that. But I think really what will establish more diversity and inclusivity as a whole is if those people at the very top gives their trust within the black community.
I agree. I don't even know. I'm just like, how is this still not sunken in? We're tired of tokens. And I think it's just infuriating, I think, more than anything. You're right, we do need to be there. But then I also need people to consciously make an effort to do these things. I think that would mean, I don't know if it means more to me that you're consciously making an effort. It would actually. It would be more to me if people who weren't black made a conscious effort that if they are in these positions of casting, that they make sure everyone is equally represented. And you make that your mission, because it's very easy to say, oh, we do need black people in these spaces, but let's say that they aren't there yet, or they're not. And then there's also the sense of, we can't be everywhere. We're only 3% of the population in the UK. So we physically know we can't be everywhere, but where we can be, absolutely place us. We have
100%.
But also make a conscious effort that even if a black person isn't over your shoulder checking that you're doing what you should be doing, you're going to make sure they're done. Yes. You know what I mean? Stuff's done.
Yeah. And you should want to tell these stories. You know, you should want to do it. It should come from a place of, like, I want to see this, as opposed to a trend or I have to do this. Because that's two different, two different approaches. And I think one caters and the other dismisses. So, I would say it should come from a place of actually wanting to, and not feeling like I have
obliged
to.
Obligated.
Obligated, yeah.
It shouldn't be an obligation. We should just want to hear different stories of all cultures. Because that is the world. Mm-hmm. That is society. I don't know. Maybe I'm in my own little bubble because I am from London. But because I am, I'm very open to seeing all types of stories. And when they are being told, like, they are celebrated. For example, Black Panther.
How do you feel, Alia, Birmingham-wise?
Birmingham's been diverse. Yeah. Like, we have, like, a massive Caribbean community. So that's the only difference. Like, there's a big African community in London, whereas in Birmingham, it's definitely more Caribbean.
Interesting.
And I think, like, in London, I know a lot of, like, people who are Nigerian, Ghanaian, whereas in Birmingham, I know of more communities that are from Zimbabwe, as an example, whereas I don't know as many in London. Yeah, I think it's still diverse. And I think even as a contrast from like a Black person's experience in Birmingham versus in London, there are differences there. Do you know what I mean? So it's still, I think we definitely need versatility because not every Black person shares that story of living on a block and running past cops. Do you know what I mean? Like Top Boy, like it's not
100%.
Actually isn't every Black person's lived experience.
Yeah.
So I really 100. Need to see more than Black just joy. What people think sell,
mm-hmm.
or
yeah.
just the typical, the joy. Stereotypes, basically. Do more.
I don't know if we talked about this before, but how do we feel about blackfishing in the media? Because I'm seeing it a lot. I don't know if that's just you.
Embarrassing.
So blackfishing is when someone who is Caucasian kind of passes, but not pass, like a Rachel Dolezal, that type of vibe. So she'll wear fake tan, braids, do you know what I mean? All of that kind of cultural appropriation, but actually presenting as a Black person. I feel like influencers do that, but
they do, a lot.
Oh, I have mixed emotions about that because, like, this girl had braids in her hair and then just got like rinsed, and I was like, oh, okay, she's from Love Island. I didn't watch it, but her name's like Rebecca. And she had braids in her hair and she got absolutely rinsed for it. And I'm like, I don't know how I feel about people gunning in on someone.
Because, I feel do it. Braids. Like, rinse her. Rinse her. Rinse all the water out. Rinse all the oxygen out. Rinse it. I'm sorry. I just feel like it's a weird one for me. It's a catch 22 because my mum is white. And growing up, I wish I saw her in more Black hairstyles because I love my mum so much. And I look up to her, but she's of a completely different ethnicity to me. You know, if you admire your mom and you think about, oh my god, she's like the essence of beauty or womanhood and whatnot, but she's not Black, so that was like hard for me. She wouldn't wear the same hair as me, she wouldn't, so I probably would have appreciated her wearing braids. But then also because of the cultural connotations towards braids and just like the story and the history of Black hair is so it's actually so horrific. The reason why a lot of African Americans tend to wear their hair relaxed and all of these notions, one, it's more acceptable in Western society, but two, is because braids and different forms of hairstyles were a way of communication. It was a way of saying like, oh, I'm from this certain tribe, and they made them shave their heads and lose their identity. So there's a deeper meaning behind braids. You stripped braids from us and now you want to appropriate it and make money off it and be cool and be an influence. That's where I have issues with it. It's because you need to at least know the history.
Yeah, I think influencers and influencer shows, they do tend to get it quite wrong. And I did want to touch on a little, because it's been in the media, so it does link to it. What's been happening with Love Island Yoande? The madness that has gone on with Lucy calling her bully, and now it's in the media, and now they're trying to slam her, and how we didn't even know half of the story, and how the production team of ITV are whacking away with their casting. It's actually a joke. So, thoughts on that?
Do you know what? I'm not surprised. Like, I'm not surprised by any of it. I was really grateful with Amy and Amber coming forward and defending Yoande, because a lot of these microaggressions are experienced by Black women, and we kind of just have to allow it. Because the thing is, someone was saying, like, oh my God, there's always something. There's always an ism. This is apparently name-ism. Like, why is there an ism? I said, because a lot of things have kind of gone left unchallenged and gone under the rug. And it's not so much of, you've not used the N-word towards me. You've not called me a gollywog. Do you know what I mean? You've not said anything that is overtly offensive. Yeah, yeah. Nevertheless, you have done something or behaved in a way that was because of my race. So I'm glad you one day addressed it, and I'm glad that she had a white friend and a mixed race friend there to be on her side and not allow this stereotype of an angry black woman to be cast against her, because it would affect her career. Yeah. And I think too often black women are allowed to defend themselves because they're deemed strong. Everybody doesn't see them as vulnerable or needing support, and that's just not true. I'm not strong. I'm weak. Sorry, I'm emotional. Ha! Guess what? Like, I need I'm glad they came out and defended her. I'm glad, because I'll be honest, I think we'd have a very different narrative right now if they hadn't. Yeah. The bully would have been everywhere.
Could you imagine them tabloids? Tabloids would have called her bully. Would have named her. Oh,
and that affects someone's bag. You know, that could have affected her bag. So you can't be messing around with people's bags like that.
I feel like we have to get backed up by other people. And like you said, Kemi, Black Panther was one of the first times that it was like a black cast and like black people were celebrated. But then again, it was like a superhero movie. So we there's things that need to change. The media really needs to do better. I think that we're so close, but yet so far. But I did want to end on a positive note.
Yeah,
by Steve McQueen. Come on, Black Joy, Happiness. If you haven't watched it yet, on BBC iPlayer, I think that's real. That was Black Joy. That was Black stories. And it was a whole range of emotions conveyed. It wasn't just negativity and misfortune. And it was literally made by a Black director, Black stories. Look at that. And for the future, that's what people need to be aspiring to. None of this, I have, we have some characters.
And also, we should create for ourselves. It's something that, I don't know, I've been thinking about more. Why should we give other people the license to, like, give us yes or no when we can be creating ourselves?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
There's a lot of people, writing. I've noted on Clubhouse. I'm on there all the time. I've connected with a lot of people and a lot of Black actors and writers. And a lot of us are writing and creating these stories. I feel like the problem we have is getting white production companies to see the value in it, because they don't see how they can monetize it, and that's disgusting, because particularly people have put their heart into these stories, it's kind of a joke for someone to basically read your trauma in the form of a script and be like, but I don't know if it's entertaining enough. I don't care if it's entertaining, it's real, and this will resonate with people that look like me, whether you understand it or not. So I'd love to get to a space where we have the revenue, the production to just do it ourselves. I don't know how we get there, because of course you want to pay everyone, but I really feel like it's going to take a couple of people taking the chance, maybe not even taking it, and then going from there and just building, creating, and then when the light bulbs hit, you know, I want people to really negotiate, like Michaela Cole did with I May Destroy You, and make sure that when she moves forward with a company, she gets paid what she's absolutely meant to.
Honestly, Michaela Cole is
BB.
Every level. Let's go to Street Smart. Illuminate, elevate a Black business. We deserve it. We deserve to shine.
I am actually bigging up a company that is offering chocolate hearts that you break into. Considering we're all in a lockdown and we're not sure how long for, but birthdays are coming and going, left, right, and centre, mine included. So this company is called Break and See. So it's really cute. You DM them, you can purchase different colours and different types of chocolate heart-shaped boxes, and then you fill it up with a gift for your loved one, and then you can be able to give that as a gift. So it's pretty cool, it's cute, it's a Black-owned business, and I like that. I think it's a nice way to kind of brighten someone's birthday, or just say, hey, I'm thinking of you. BREAKANDSEE, Break and See.
Big them up. So as a collective, we are more than a podcast. We also have music mixes, as you heard. Anya just released one, so go and check that out. But it's our very own DJs providing the soundtrack to your weekend. And once the world resets and all is safe and well, we will get into hosting events. So you
learn from the conversation.
Watch our mixes.
Join the pie.
You can also follow us on Insta and Twitter. @GYALS and on our personal account.
It's Kemi, so ITSKEMI.
And Aaliyah Iona, that's AaliyahIona.
You just listened to an episode of Girls Bye. Around. We out.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.